And welcome to Season 11, Episode 30 of the OdaFest podcast. It's me, I'm Nancy, and I'm here with Angelo.
Hello, I'm not Jay.
And neither am I, as it so happens.
I haven't seen Jay in 84 years.
I do not know what Jay looks like anymore.
Oh my.
But you know what? We got some news and announcements.
Did you know that cosplay is taking place in OdaFest 26, eh? That's right, eh? The Canadian Cosplay Championship. When OdaFest advanced to Montreal Comic Con in July 26, compete and become Canada's cosplay champion. Sounds like a good time to me there, bud. First place will get to take a rip on over to Montreal on us there, eh, bud? Details at OdaFest.com/cosplay.
OdaFest and Visual K Dreamer are excited to announce that Miura I'm featuring Miko will be rocking our stage for OdaFest Amplified from May 15th to the 17th. Miura is the voice of the fabulous fifth-born Asmodeus in the Otome video game and anime series Obey Me, and recently reprised his role in its latest installment, Obey Me Nightbringer. Miura also sang Obey Me's open themes, Sinful Indulgence, Celestial Ray, and Loveless, and the Nightbringer opening as a member of the Obey Me Boys. Miko is the guitarist of Exist Trace, an all-female Visual K band known for their activity both in Japan and overseas. And together, their collaboration promises a dynamic and unforgettable stage experience. To get to know them more, you can check them out at Instagram.com/AYME_official, Instagram.com/Miko_ExistTrace on X, as well as on YouTube.
And welcome, Alejandro Saab, to OdaFest 2026.
Woo!
Alejandro Saab is a professional voice actor as well as a content creator known as either KG Films or Sayu VTuber, and from time to time will sing song covers under the name WeeBe. He's best known for voicing characters such as Sino from Genshin Impact, Leon in Pokemon Journeys, Yuri in Fire Emblem Three Houses, Kaigaku in Demon Slayer, Kensuke Aida in Evangelion, Lark Burke in Rising of the Shield Hero, Treble in One Piece, Tsukauchi in My Hero Academia, and many others. Alejandro also primarily posts content online as VTuber, known as Sayu. He's amassed an audience on TikTok of 600,000 plus, 100,000 plus on Twitch, and more on YouTube. Check out his work at Sayu VTuber on Instagram.
Wow!
Yeah!
Oh my God!
It's finally happening. We have worked so hard to get Alejandro Saab to OdaFest. It was supposed to happen last year, and unfortunately it couldn't. Although we did get to meet Jonah Scott because of it. And Jonah, absolutely fantastic guy. It was wonderful to meet him. But I'm excited to meet Alejandro.
So cool. So freaking cool.
Finally.
I can't wait. I can't wait.
Yeah. Oh
also,
my God.
I'm so excited that we're getting Visual K performers again because they really know how to put on a good show.
They really do. I haven't heard of Miura I'm before, but having looked them up, I'm kind of excited. They look super cool. And I mean, they got a hell of a resume right there. Goddamn.
I went to the YouTube channel and I was like, every single one of these thumbnails looks like a vibe. I need this.
Yeah.
I'm going to go play through their Discog like later tonight when I'm cram studying.
Nice. This is also one of the few times where they're a voice actor and I've actually listened to one of their roles. I do remember watching Obey Me. I didn't watch it all the way, but I do remember it. I always feel bad because I'm talking about our voice actors and I'm a sub watcher.
I am too, but it's not because I don't like English dubs, obviously, because I do English dubbing. That's not the point. The point is that when I watch anime in Japanese, I can just turn that part of my brain off. I don't have to be like... So Ryan and I were talking about this earlier the last OdaFest staff meeting. Basically, when you are in any field and you are exposed to works that are in those fields, you tend to like turn your analysis brain on first. So as an artist, sometimes he'll look at like a really good poster or like a really nice piece of art and just be like, oh, I really like the composition. I like the colors. I like the, you know, the gradient here. And I like the dynamic use of posing and the lines and like how the eye draws itself through the composition. Like, he could go on. But the point is that if you just want to enjoy something as a consumer, you have to turn that part of your brain off, and it's hard to do when you do it for work.
So what you're saying is, because you are a voice actor, you don't want to be sitting there judging the voice acting. And so if you're listening to it in a different language, that doesn't happen.
Yes. And I find that I focus on different things when I listen to things in Japanese.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I absolutely use watching anime in Japanese as a vehicle of practice so that I don't fall out of practice with my Japanese language skills and my listening skills.
Oh.
But when I'm listening to or like watching an animated movie, for example, I listen to it and I'm just like, wow, that performance for that line was really good. Those were some really good nuances that they chose on that. I like the choice they made there. I really like that, like, hitch in the breath, or I like this, or I like that. And I'm like, I'm not even paying attention to the story anymore at that point. It's really distracting. So, like, I can't watch anime in English and just enjoy it for the sake of media consumption.
Oh, my God. This is like you or I watching like hackers in movies.
Oh my, yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's exactly
we'll just share a keyboard and we can write like a Tumblr post about how bad it is.
Yeah. We'll play it like a piano. That's how that works.
That's how that works. I saw it on TV once.
Yeah. We can totally hack faster if we do that. Yeah.
Oh, I'll get a GUI going in Visual Basic to track the killer's IP.
Yeah, I'm just going to open up IP config here and just see all the... No, I can't.
I feel like Tim Apple himself was also getting burnt out by all of the tech media. And that's why he's saying goodbye to the CEO position.
Yeah. Yeah. It's finally happening. Another era of Apple is finally ending, and I don't know what the next era is going to look like.
I'm not certain. Like, quite frankly, what happened when Steve Jobs died, I kind of expected the worst for Apple. If we go back all the way to the 90s, it was a long time. Steve Jobs, one of the two Steves who made Apple in the first place, he was the business guy. The board of whatever kicked him out because they hated him for very valid reasons, but they hated him. And then Apple kind of just died. They, from the mid-90s all the way up to like 2002, 2003... Apple was floundering. They were struggling. And they actually poached Steve Jobs back to be like, please help us, Steve Jobs. You're our only hope. And then the iPod came out. And after that, the iPhone came out. And now they're one of the most valuable companies in the world. Unfortunately, Steve Jobs later died. And Tim Cook was appointed the CEO of Apple. He's kind of a bean counter. He's kind of an accountant. He's a very shrewd businessman, as we found out, but he was nothing of the charismatic leader that Steve Jobs was. So a lot of people weren't hyped or enthused about his leadership of the company, but quite frankly, Apple has been doing just as good, if not better.
It's going to be interesting at whatever next Apple announcement there is where I don't get to see him talk in his classic cadence and voice and do the exact same public speaking, like the exact two same public speaking gestures that he knows. And, you know, he's been featured a lot less in those videos in recent years, I feel, because I think they used to have him do more of the talking, but now they like to, you know, spotlight other senior developers and like senior leaders in the company and have them come talk about the thing they helped build. So that's really cool, but it is going to be a little weird for the next Apple announcement to not have him standing in a field and talking about how inspiring Apple is.
Yeah. And to my understanding, John Ternus is going to be the new CEO. He is currently the senior vice president of hardware engineering, which, quite frankly, that sounds kind of interesting that we're going to get a hardware engineer as the CEO. At the same time, he's the senior vice president of hardware engineering. Who knows how much hardware engineering he does personally? But, you know, my boy Tim Apple picked him out personally, so I think that your boy John Ternus is going to be reasonable enough.
I'm interested to see what happens, right? You and I have had some pretty interesting talks over the years on podcast about things we like and really don't like about the Apple ecosystem. We've talked a lot about what their business strategy is like, and it'll just be interesting to see how this changes things, if at all.
Honestly, I'm really interested in it because normally I'm a really big Apple hater. I am a massive Apple hater. I refuse to allow Apple products onto my network. I'm pretty sure that if Dio brought home some Apple product, after looking at them extremely disappointedly, I would set up like a different VLAN for whatever device it was, you know?
A completely different, like, it gets its own Wi-Fi network, just entirely tethered to the one device.
Don't contaminate my internet of tubes with your fruit box. But having that said, like, the MacBook Neo has gone insane.
Yeah. The MacBook Neo has gained so many fans overnight because it's just so affordable and is reasonably powerful for the package it comes in. It's kind of nuts.
It's reasonably repairable. Like, it actually got a pretty good repairability score.
From
and
I
in
fix
a world
it.
Of, like, iPads and surface things and everything else, which is unrepairable, disposable e-waste trash. Something coming out from Apple being repairable. It's like it's affordable. It's performant. It's good. The only bad thing that you can say about the MacBook Neo is that all it has is two USB-C ports. You need a dongle for more connectivity. But it is actually the one Apple device that flips Apple's usual modus operandi on its head. And I would consider it.
I would consider this as a next device for my parents or like for aunts and uncles.
No, I'm legitimately considering it for my mom because right now she has a Windows 10 laptop from 2015. It can't run a modern operating system.
Good grief.
I would have to put heckin' Linux on it to make it secure. Good God. No. That is not a tech support call I want to deal with.
No, probably not.
No.
No.
Yeah, Mom, just open up the terminal there and type sudo apt-get update and apt-get upgrade. Yeah. No.
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 No. You don't want to do that to our parents.
I mean, I mean...
Like, I could. Like, my dad comes from a tech background. He likes fiddling with stuff and, like, you know, hacking bits here and there. That is not the problem. I feel like if I gave him too much of a dumb box, it would stop him from doing the things that make him happy, which is just finding fun ways to hack little bits and pieces together into like a fun little workflow for himself whenever he's doing something a little more complicated. He's a bit of a hacker, that one. But
is
you know
he an enjoyer
what?
Of auto hotkey?
Not that bad.
All right.
Not that bad.
Auto hotkey is cool, but I haven't done anything interesting with it.
Yeah. I mean, he's done some pretty, like, weird things over the years with, like, file management systems and, like, automated backups. But I want to just give him something that works, right? If I just want to give him something and it's going to work and he doesn't have to fight with it because he needs to install printer drivers for the 50th time, that would be nice.
Yeah. Jesus. God damn. Ugh.
But you know what? I would love to fix the thing that makes us change our clocks twice a year. And it
twice a year?
Kind of sounds like we might.
That's two times too many.
That is two times too many. I think the only thing I will miss is in fall when you get an extra hour of sleep. But if I never had to lose that hour of sleep, then fine.
I won't care because my body is absolutely stupid and will wake me up the hour early anyway.
Same.
I never get the extra hour. So literally today, as of day of recording, the Alberta premiere, Danielle Smith, came out and said, heck this time clock changing shenanigans. We're going to be on Mountain Daylight Time going forward. And by the way, we're going to call it Alberta Time.
Ugh. Of course.
Now, quite frankly, this isn't a podcast about politics, but this is the one W that I can give this administration.
Agree.
It still has to go to a vote, and I believe by the time this episode airs, that vote will have either passed or failed. But I mean, everybody expects it to pass.
I certainly do, because the last time this got put to referendum, it was botched so badly.
And it was so bad.
So badly. And I'm okay with just not having to do, like, basically jet lag to myself every twice a year.
Yeah. Like, for real. I don't like losing an hour. I don't mind gaining an hour, but it's kind of annoying still to have to change legitimately.
Mm-hmm.
The clock in Dio's car, we just left it for the last half year, and now it's accurate again.
Yeah.
And now we won't have to change it again.
Yeah. What, isn't that...
I would have to change the clock on my stove again, or my microwave.
That is
Yippee.
Actually kind of nice. I didn't think about that. But you know what you just reminded me? My car, I've never had to set the time in this car. I think because it gets the time zone from my phone.
Oh, really?
I think
so. Is that a thing that like Android Auto or Apple Auto will do?
Mm-hmm.
What is it called? CarPlay, I think?
Yes, Apple CarPlay, I think.
Will it grab like internet through your phone, or does it just update itself based on... That's interesting. I never even thought about that.
I think it just asks my phone for the time. I don't think it goes through like an internet time. Like it doesn't go to the time server like it does in Windows or anything, or
yeah.
Like Linux. Like Linux actually lets you set a time server that it syncs its clock with periodically. I don't think it does that. I think it literally just asks my phone, what time is it?
That is honestly kind of intelligent. Like, I know a lot of modern cars have Wi-Fi built in for, like, firmware updates and for managing the subscription-based heated seats and such.
Ugh, don't even get me started.
God, good God, I will never own a new car. Mm. No way. But like for those types of cars, it makes sense that they would be able to connect to Wi-Fi and connect to a time server to update their things. But I'm still very used to old cars where you have to manually set the clock.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. But I think because my phone, like I don't even plug my phone into my car. I just, it connects to my car's Bluetooth for A, playing music, obviously, but B, so I can talk to my parents on the phone when I'm on the, when I'm in the car and I'm driving, I can still talk to them. Oftentimes when I'm going to my parents for dinner, I will call them to tell them I'm on my way. And that is just a thing I can do without having to actually physically dial them on my phone. So that is the reason why the Bluetooth is there. But I think over Bluetooth, when it connects with your phone after you start your car, I think it just asks my phone for the time that it has. It doesn't have to go through the internet. It just says, what time is it? Because I know you're a phone and I know that you sync up with your cell tower time.
Yeah. That would be super interesting. Ah, but I'm... Regardless, please. Please. Just pick a time and go with it. To my understanding, with this change, we are going to be basically synced up with Saskatchewan, and we are going to be an hour ahead of BC,
mm-hmm.
basically permanently going forward.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine to me.
It's great.
That's great.
I'm looking forward to never having to change my clock. However, because my job requires me to work with a lot of studios in LA and in like Pacific time and in Central time and very often in GMT and GMT plus one time, I still think about time as like UTC plus or minus hours.
Oh, no, that's the best way to do it.
But like that is going to be an adjustment because now when it's winter here, we won't change our clock anymore. But now Pacific time, LA will be behind by 2 hours, and then we will be in Central time.
Effectively, yeah.
That's going to be so weird.
I'm praying that with Saskatchewan, Alberta, and BC all ditching daylight savings time, that Eastern Canada will take it a little bit more seriously.
I hope so.
Ontario and Montreal have been like, we will do it if Quebec is like, we will do it if Ontario and New York do it. And Ontario is like, we will do it if Montreal and New York do it. And New York is like, who the fuck are you two?
Yes.
Why do I have to be in this conversation? Get out of here.
But it would be really nice because I remember the last time we had this debate about what time zone to default to if we don't want to do daylight savings anymore. One of the arguments was literally that, oh, but hockey games would start too late if we chose that time and we were off from BC for 2 hours. That was the number one biggest concern, apparently.
Was that a thing?
People were like, oh, but our hockey games would start so late. And I was like, are you serious? That's what you're worried about?
Really?
Yes.
That boggles the mind because you can still just have hockey games start whenever they start.
And I'm pretty sure WestJet also lobbied against the like keeping a time zone depending on which one, because the time zone change would be too weird to facilitate if Alberta was the only one.
Yeah, but we're not the only one. We've got Saskatchewan and BC now, too.
I know, right?
Quite frankly, having, like, alternating provinces doing it or not doing it, that would be the weird way.
That would be weird. At some point, you'd be, like, 3 hours away from somebody next to you.
Yeah.
So now, weird.
My only concern is for the poor innocent programmers who have to deal with
time zone programming.
Yeah.
As someone who had to introduce time zones to an application that was built in Alberta time and only understood Alberta time.
No.
I did that. I had to be like, no, application, there's such a thing as time zones. Just because it's 8 o'clock here does not mean it is 8 o'clock in Ontario. No.
Oh, no.
So I had to do that once upon a time. It was one of my proudest, like, intermediate, early senior developer year things where I just had to introduce time zones all across one entire application. I was so proud.
What did you end up doing? Did you, like, convert it to UTC on the server side and then do something on the client side to figure that out to the local time zone?
So because updating other timestamps retroactively is not something you want to do historically across like all of the data you've ever collected across all of time. This was an application that had been around for like 15 years by this point, so I had a lot of data. I wasn't going to go and update it, so what I did was I introduced the concept of a home time zone or a server time zone, and then after that, all application logic still had to understand that this is still a UTC plus or minus whatever hours.
Okay. I think I get what you mean. I think I understand what you mean. And that can work. You did it and it works.
It worked. It worked. And I found a really good time zone mapping library that can basically do the conversion for you if you give it a date.
Yeah, because time zones.
Yeah. Time zones, for anyone who's listening who is not tech-oriented, time zones are a really, really complicated issue because it's not always geographical. And sometimes really weird time zones that are like half hours.
Like Newfoundland is a half-hour time zone.
Yes.
Why? Why wouldn't they just be the same as Nova Scotia? Why do they have to be half an hour? Because they decided so. China is all one time zone, if I remember correctly.
Despite being a relatively wide east-west country, they are one time zone.
They're one time zone because they decided time zones are stupid and they don't want to deal with that. You have countries that are above and below, like north and south of China, that do deal with time zones.
Correct.
And then China is just like, why would we deal with this? I believe that India or something in that area has 15-minute time zones.
Damn.
15-minute time zones are a thing. And that's insane.
Anyway, so time zones themselves are really complicated because they depend on countries, not on coordinates. And it's complicated because time zones are something you can change. So now if you think about it, the time zones starting whatever date in April when we make up our minds that this is going to be fixed from now on, all time zone references across the internet and anything else have to understand that from April whatever date going forward, we don't change our time, but that we're still, you know, ahead of Pacific time by an hour, and we're still behind Central by an hour.
Yeah.
But we don't do daylight savings, so there's, like, logical changes that have to cascade down from here.
Oh, and that's going to be so weird, because, like, Northwest Territories, directly to the north of us,
will still have to do their daylight savings.
And then, of course, all of the states below us, all the states
will still
to the south
do
of us.
Their daylight savings. So, like, now we are weird. We're like a strange little pocket of provinces that don't, but everyone else still does. And therefore, if you were converting from Northwest Territories down south to us, well, now we're off by 2 hours.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Or something. So, you know, fun things like that. And interestingly enough, much like banking, I think time zones do fluctuate over time. So updating a time zone definition may not be difficult, but socializing that change might be strange.
Yeah. It is. It's so easy to say, just stop changing the clocks, forehead. But all of the issues that compound on top of that are so, they seem so silly and small, and there's going to be confusion around it. And that's why everybody else should get on our level and simply stop changing the clocks.
Correct.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, that sounds so logical. So easy.
Exactly. We're not farmers anymore. And the farmers in Saskatchewan never wanted it to begin with.
No. And also, it's a myth that farmers wanted daylight savings.
I feel like it was actually because, business owners wanted free light. They wanted to do the work when the sun was shining through the windows.
So that you didn't have to use electricity.
Yeah, or candles for that matter.
That too, but like, farmers don't care. If it is light out, they are outside working.
Exactly.
They don't care what time it is, regardless what the clock says.
Yeah. Now, I think it's time for tomatoes.
Farming some tomatoes?
Farming tomatoes.
So, remember how last year when I had that sink full of tomatoes and at some point I kept some seeds and I was like, oh, I'm going to be so smart. I'm going to try and replant these again in the spring. And
I kept
seven. I kept seven itty bitty seeds. I didn't like go hard on this. I just said, you know, I'm going to grab one of these really, really ripe red ones that we brought in from when it started snowing. And when we were cooking with them, I just scraped some of the seeds out and left them to dry. And so I had seven little seeds and I started soaking them a couple weeks ago. I put them in like a little takeout container full of dirt. Like literally, I didn't even bother buying a nursery pot. Like I was just like, I have a takeout container that's clean. I'll just put some dirt in it and see if I can get anything to sprout. Well, I was extraordinarily happy when two sprouts came up.
Yeah.
Two out of seven. I was like, this is perfect. It's a small amount when you say, oh, it was only like two out of seven, but I was happy. I was happy I got anything at all. And then, right after I told you about it, Sean found two more sprouts coming up through the dirt.
Oh my God.
So my grand total was like, oh, I made it up to four. That's past halfway. That's like an over 50% success. I'm so proud. I didn't even do anything special. And then the following 3 days saw two more sprouts. And then I was just like, okay.
Six of seven?
Okay. Six out of seven is really, really good.
Six, seven, let's go.
I'm going to have sprouts for you and Dio if you want some. Because they grow really well in just like pots on the balcony, right? As long as they get lots of sun, they're happy. And lots of water because they're really thirsty. But like I was really, really happy. I was going to be happy with two. Now I have four excess of two.
Oh my God.
And
Oh my God.
I now need to know what to do with all of these additional seedlings because they are growing and they are growing a lot every day. Like every day they get taller by a whole inch and they're just sitting in my windowsill.
Wow.
And
I'm
then,
so happy for you.
And then 2 days ago, the last one came up.
Let's go. Oh my God.
So
a
now.
Perfect score.
And now I have to relocate them because I can't have seven seedlings inside of a little soup container.
I mean, you say that. Clearly you can.
Well, you can't because tomatoes have excessive root networks. So if you let them grow too close together, they'll just strangle each other out.
Ah.
And they're just
seven
seedlings.
Seven tomatoes enter, only one tomato leaves.
So like, there's four of them in the original little, like, soup takeout container that I have, and now I've got another soup container that I also had, and I'm like, I've relocated a couple seedlings into that one. But I expect these to be huge before it's even, like, plantable outside, because I still have to wait for the last frost to go before I can put them in the ground.
And, wait, we have to. My God, every single time I think it's like, is it finally here? Is this finally the last The last cold day? No.
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 We just had a foot of snow, like on Thursday.
As far as I can tell, according to my phone, this Wednesday to next Tuesday have negative lows.
There you go. It was 20 today.
It was 20 today, and it's supposed to be like 20 tomorrow. And I biked today, and I'm going to bike tomorrow.
That's
and
wonderful.
And then it's going to be freezing.
I'm so glad that you got a couple days of actual biking weather.
It was so nice. I really just enjoy biking to work. Not only is it faster than walking to the train and taking that, biking beside the river, there is something of a mental reset out of it. And also, like, a separation. You get out of the house. You go, you bike by some trees by the river. You pass by the feral and vicious cobra chickens.
Yep. They're definitely there, yes.
Yeah. And I don't know, I really do enjoy it. And I'm not the only one on my way home from work today. So many people were enjoying the bike paths. There were so many people hanging out, like, by the Peace Bridge. You really do love to see it. When the weather is good, it's just take advantage of it. It doesn't last long enough for us here in Calgary.
The weather is an actual topic here.
It really is. Like, I've got friends down in LA, and they're like, what do you mean it's snowing? It's plus 90 over here.
Like, and meanwhile, goddamn. Yeah, meanwhile, we're like, hey, it's been snowing sideways for 20 hours.
Yeah.
And oh, and God. we had a legitimate foot and a half of snow last week, and then it all melted within 2 days.
It's crazy.
I actually used the opportunity to take as much of the snow on my lawn as possible, and I dumped them onto my tulips because tulips like snow melt.
Oh, do they?
They
Is
do.
Is that a thing?
That's a thing. Tulips are one of the first things to come up in the spring here because they really enjoy snow melt. And so the snow melt, like, preps them, and they're usually the first things to turn green on in anyone's lawn here.
I didn't know that. That's kind of great.
Yeah. I love my tulips. I'm excited.
Yeah.
I still have a lot of black tulips from the other year, and I'm just, they make my little goth heart happy.
Nice. I'm getting a brand new flower of my own. And it
Tell
was
me more.
Completely unexpected.
Oh-ho.
So
Tell
I
me.
Have this. I have this pot of aloe.
The one that I gave you?
Yes, actually. A year and a half ago, I separated out the one large aloe from its small little baby aloe that was in the pot. I repotted it into something larger because it needed it. It was falling over in this tiny pot it had. And I was like, okay, here, it's on a windowsill. And I'll water it whenever I remember to, you know? As one does. Dio sends me a picture today. I looked at that aloe 2 days ago and it looked perfectly normal. Dio sends me a picture today. It has this stem coming up the middle of it that's like a foot long. It's got these tiny little sprigs at the end of it. And I'm looking at it being like, what is this alien bullshit coming out of our aloe? And then Dio sends me a screenshot of the Wikipedia article. I didn't know that aloes flowered. This is something I've never seen before.
So
I just didn't even consider it as a thing.
Context. Anyone who's ever received an aloe from me got a mutant aloe because these aloes are prolific and they are very plump.
Yes. So one detail I missed, one key detail. The mother aloe, I will call it, the one big aloe that we separated out into a pot, it had so many babies in that pot that it is now just a pot of aloe. It looks like a snake pit of aloe. I'm scratching my head being like, the fuck do I do with all of this aloe? Goddamn.
Yeah. And that is normal because all of my aloes that came from my mother plant are also taking over their pots with insane numbers of separate plants. And my original mother plant had babies growing through it.
Through the pot? What?
So, you know how, like, the leaves on the bottom tend to be the biggest and the fattest? Because they're the
yes.
oldest. It had babies coming through the leaves.
Oh, my so God.
They were kind of doing an alien.
They were bursting through the leaves?
Yeah.
They were chest-bursting the aloe?
Yes.
What kind of horror aloe is this? Oh, my God.
I don't know, but now it lives in your house.
Evidently. And now it's going to propagate. We're getting a flower anyway. I'm kind of excited because this is one of two plants that are supposed to be notoriously weird for flowering indoors.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, like, indoor aloe just don't normally flower. But we
unless
have
you're
this
an aloe from me.
Where we've neglected it. And it's thriving. We have one other plant. We have a Hoya that we planted in a mason jar. And it routinely starts flowering. We get multiple bunches of flowers out of it a year. And every now and then we're like, we really should get it out of this mason jar. It deserves a proper flower pot. But goddamn, is it thriving in that mason jar?
It's just
it
so
would
happy
just be
in
rude
there.
To remove it.
Why would you move it from its comfy place?
Exactly. What are we? How could we be such a monster to take that plant away from its beloved jar?
You could also plant a Monstera next to it and see what happens.
I do love Monsteras. They look very fun. The problem is that they're bad for pets.
Ooh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. If you have cats or dogs, you have to make sure to keep them away from your Monsteras. Or just simply do not have Monsteras in the house. It is the same reason that we would love to have, like, spider lilies. A lot of lilies are bad for pets.
Correct.
Yes.
I know that one to be true.
Yeah.
But, your monster aloe, though, is a weird... Okay, so here's a different story.
Okay.
The original mother plant that I had... was actually a dying plant that my friend gave to me because she had it at her desk at work. And when she was let go, she was like, this plant is dying. I don't know how to take care of it. It's just like a dinky little, it was like a very weak little aloe. It was very small. And she gave it to me and I kept it alive, but it was like struggling. So at some point, I threw it out. I literally took it to the compost pile and I threw it away. And it survived on neglect and sunshine. And then in the fall, Sean saw it poking up out of the compost pile, and we had to take it and four babies back inside for the rest of the winter.
Ah, the thriving garbage aloe.
So it turns out that in one summer of neglect, I now have mutated this aloe into a raging beast and all of the babies, because obviously they all came from the same mom and they continue to proliferate because your story is, it tracks. Like, it's the same behavior I see from it at home.
Yeah.
Which is why I keep threatening my friends with more aloes. I'm just like, I have more. Someone please take these from me. I have too many babies.
Just like we have too much spider plant and too much pothos. One of Dio's coworkers gave her a single little sprig of pothos. And now we have vines of pothos covering our windows.
Yep.
I love them. I actually really love that plant. It's wonderful. It makes
me
so happy.
Can confirm. Have seen it. It does indeed drape everywhere.
It is. It is the best kind of blinds.
I brought home a succulent from like the garden center a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And on top of the soil was like a little 2 centimeter leaf that had fallen off of a different plant because it looked totally different from the succulent I had. So I looked at it and I was like, well, you kind of look like you're a succulent. I wonder what happens if I just plant you. So I did. And now it is this giant bush of a thing and it lives in my window.
And you have no idea what it is?
I still don't know what it is, but it looks cute and it's fluffy.
I love that for you.
And my window just keeps growing a collection of plants. And I'm just like, okay, well, you're all happy here. It's fine.
It's fine.
You know what isn't fine?
That there's an entire week before the next episode of the OdaFest podcast?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and less than 1 month to OdaFest itself.
What is it, like minus 24 days or something?
Give or take. I'm not doing the math.
See you in another 7 days.
See you while you do the math. Bye-bye.
Take care.